Today's episode of Problem Solvers is brought to you by Aflac. Learn more about making Aflac available to your employees at aflac.com/small business. From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business. We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Would you like to sell hamburgers? Because if you do, you're in luck. That's a business you can pretty much do anywhere and at any scale. Sell them from the stand at the beach or a small group of stores or a national chain. Your business will make sense at every and any level. Get the ingredients, make the burgers, sell it. Simple. But there are some business ideas that only work at a large scale. Spotify is a perfect example. The only way to get the music is to enter into costly contracts with music labels, and the only way to make money on top of those contracts is to get many, many millions of people to pay for the service. That thing only works if it's huge. A new social media service is another great example. It either goes big and is so populated with people that communities form inside of it, or it's small and empty and nobody sticks around. Only works at scale. And these businesses all face an enormous challenge because, you know, you can't like create a business from day one that's already scaled to maturity any more than you can hop in a car while it's going 100 miles per hour. There has to be a starting point and then a long, gaping middle point where you are awkwardly growing, trying to do the thing that your business is built to do, but at a small size that inherently does not work. And yet, that's the only way forward. That's the only way to make enough money or, hell, impress your investors and raise enough money to actually sustain the crazy thing and grow to where you need to be. Along the way, things will get weird. That's a guarantee. Che Huang knows all about that. He started what aspired to be an e-commerce giant out of his garage. And as it grew and was too big for the garage but too small for its own facility, the team had to expand into the driveway and the backyard, and that did not go unnoticed.
After the neighbors thought like we're like selling drugs out of my garage or an e-commerce company or starting a band, you know, yeah. I was like, we've got about 30 days here, boys and girls, before they call the cops on us.
Che was building a company called Boxed, which is like an online wholesale club, but with no membership fees. So, you know how you go to Costco and Sam's Club, where they sell giant quantities of things at a lower cost, but accessing them means paying a membership fee and, you know, basically almost certainly driving to their huge suburban facilities? Boxed gets rid of all of that. It just sells the wholesale quantities at wholesale prices and ships those enormous bundles of product around the country. And from the start, Che knew what he needed to make this work. He needed a software system and an enormous shipping facility designed specifically for those wholesale orders, and then customers nationwide whose purchases would fund all of that. And yet, you can't start with that. That's just too much. So here he was, operating out of his garage.
I love when folks are like, yeah, I want to be part of a startup that starts up in a garage. It sounds so sexy and sounds so awesome. Until you sit in a garage and you're getting eaten alive by mosquitoes, you're like, wow, this is not cool.
The reason I'm talking to Che now is because, as you might have guessed, he got out of that garage. In fact, he rocket shipped out of that garage. He started there in 2013, and this year he opened his dream facility in a 150,000 square foot space. And along the way, he's raised $150 million. So how did he make that leap in only 4 years and scale up his company to the size and scope it needed to be? That's what we're going to explore in this episode. But first, let's understand where this idea for Boxed came from.
I grew up in the burbs. Every other weekend, we would go to the Price Club with my family. You know, back then, you needed a business membership. So we borrowed a family friend's card. And if you hold it really close to the person checking its face, you know, and wiggle it around, they can't really tell if that's you or someone else. And they would let us into a club every other weekend. And we knew that was the best way to stock up and save.
But Che moved his family to Manhattan and eventually became director of Zynga New York, leading a big team inside that once-hot gaming company. So now he had no car, and getting to and from a wholesale club was really difficult. How were you going to get those club savings if you couldn't get to the club? In this, he thought he saw an opportunity. Surely he wasn't the only one thinking about this, and he realized this would be a genuinely unique area of e-commerce, one that isn't yet dominated by or influenced by Amazon. Because the way he saw it, there's no point in playing Amazon's game.
They've basically hoodwinked or goaded the entire retail industry to chase them in a sport that they invented. Everything store, 2 days or less, one item per order.
You can't compete with that, and yet everyone does.
If we walked into a CVS right now and then walked into a Target versus a Costco versus a Walmart, all those stores would look different in the offline world. But you add a .com to all those sites, they virtually look the same. And why? Because probably all these consultants said, oh, you know, we consulted with Amazon and like, you know, this is how you should do omnichannel. And really, well, every business is different.
So he and a team created Boxed, and they opened it up in that garage in New Jersey. They were under no illusions. The goal was to get out of that garage as fast as possible. But being there gave them an opportunity to get the brand name out and start to understand the logistics of their operation and what they'd need to manage it all. And those were all good things to show investors. And it really wasn't long before they outgrew that garage anyway. At the end of December in 2013, they set up shop in an 8,000 square foot facility nearby.
There you'd see quintessential manual pick environment. So folks with carts. By then, though, we started pick software on iPods and iPads. So you'd see iPods and iPads mounted on a cart, but folks were walking all around the fulfillment center picking things up. And so it's about as manual as you can get.
Yeah. And did you? What was the plan? Like, did you know you had to? You were going to have to automate everything eventually, What was the plan?
I mean, Jason, you're assuming there was a plan. So I'm kidding. Don't tell our board that. So there was a plan, and we just knew that at some point in time, we'd have to automate these functions. And so, you know, you just started plotting, like, just the ability for us to fulfill orders where we wanted to be. You did the simple math of just the parking lot. It was impossible. You just could not fit that many cars, no matter how big our facility was, in a manual environment and expect all the packages to go out the door. So we knew it was coming. But one, we didn't know what shape or form it would look like. And two, frankly, we didn't have the funds to do it.
So he's saying he knows a manual environment won't work. What he needs is to build some kind of automated system to find and ship these boxes. And you see what Che is doing here, right? He doesn't have a perfect roadmap for how to get there, but what he does know is that he can build the road while he drives it. The most important thing is just continuing to move forward and learn. And the further you go, the more you'll understand what's required to keep this company moving, and the more you'll prove to investors that you have what it takes to pull it off, if only you had their funds to do it. And by the way, as this is all going on, Che knows there are going to be a lot of growing pains. This 8,000 square foot facility is far better than a garage, but still, its capacity is small and he wants Boxed to grow. And every so often, something would happen and result in a spike of sales, like one time Boxed was mentioned on the Today Show. So he built a way for his company to handle those spikes and get through the rough times when they just weren't fully scaled up to manage it.
When you start here at Boxed, it doesn't matter if you're the chief marketing officer or you just started as an hourly picker, everyone starts in the fulfillment center. And so everyone to this day still knows how to operate in that manual environment. So we would just close the office and we would just rent a shuttle or a bus and just bus everyone to the fulfillment center.
What happened next? We'll get into it right after this word from our sponsor. My wife and I recently got a book deal. So yay, exciting. But then the contract came and I needed to print 4 copies of the last page and have us both sign them and then mail it to our agent. And we don't have a printer at home and the nearest mailbox is 4 blocks away. And seriously, this whole thing took a week. I just kept thinking, there has got to be a better way to do this. And there is. SignEasy is an easy-to-use, simple, and legal way to digitally sign documents. You can sign them yourself from anywhere and on any device, or send documents to customers, partners, or colleagues for signing, and even track the progress of documents and get notified when one is signed. Or, let's face it, if you were my agent wondering, where is this contract already? You could have used SignEasy to send me a reminder. Please, 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 let us all agree to stop fussing with documents you have to print and sign and put in a mailbox. SignEasy is faster, easier, and safer. To get started for free, go to getsigneasy.com/podcast. Again, that's getsigneasy.com/podcast. And now onto our second sponsor. I was about to start recording this spot here for our new sponsor, ProsperWorks, but I wanted to know what someone who's used many CRMs thinks, because that's what ProsperWorks makes, a CRM. So I walked over to one of our sales guys, Jim, and I said, Jim, tell me what comes to mind when you hear the words CRM. And Jim sighs, and he says, they are so tedious. And to this, ProsperWorks says, we totally agree. ProsperWorks is a CRM company that knows CRMs are notoriously complicated and inefficient, but its software is the opposite. By integrating with tools you're already using and eliminating repetitive tasks with automation, ProsperWorks makes a beautiful, easy-to-use system that drives productivity to help you and your team sell more faster. Try ProsperWorks today for free using our link prosperworks.com/loveyourcrm. Again, prosperworks.com/loveyourcrm. Okay, let's get back to the story. After about 2 years of this, in January of 2016, Che closes a $100 million Series C round of funding. And now he's got the money to finally build the facility he wants. It'll be automated and built for the kind of enormous packages that Boxed ships. But an interesting thing happened when he started searching for someone to help him build it.
Consultant after consultant, like hardware firm after hardware firm, would show up and just say, we did Amazon's blah, blah, blah facility, or we did Walmart's blah, blah, blah facility. And we'd be like, okay, great. Like, and then they would bring the tote.
The tote, by the way, is a giant red crate that travels around a fulfillment center and harvests the items that people purchased.
And then we'd bring a single item and try to jam it into the tote. I mean, we do almost 10 items per order. So we're like, hey, this tote that you brought that you built for Amazon, it can't fit a single item, and we do 10 of these.
And he means 10 of these in a single order. Remember earlier in the show when Che thought of the idea for Boxed and loved that it was totally different from the Amazon-dominated everything store, one item per order game that every e-commerce company plays? Well, here's perhaps another reason why everybody else does that. All the consultants out there have trained in that environment, and they cannot wrap their minds around anything else. So Boxed had to look elsewhere, which Che is actually pretty happy about now.
The final folks that work on this whole system with us, they've never automated a Walmart or Amazon center. You know, and it took that type of thinking to be like, okay, let me learn about your business. Like, what is the actual cubic velocity of stuff that you move? Okay, all right.
What they end up building is just huge. Like I said, 150,000 square feet, 3.5 stories tall with 2 miles of conveyor. And as it was being built, Che was also calculating how many people he would need to operate this thing. The result, amazingly, he wouldn't have to lay off anyone. And he told everyone at the office that. But of course, as this thing is being built, employees who were working the manual factory had a hard time believing it. And that created a big communications challenge.
Even though we told people that we were committed to them, when you actually come face to face with something that looks like what it's doing, what you're doing every day, there's another moment where kind of folks are ready to bring out the pitchforks. And again, when it kind of started going live, we told folks, no one's getting laid off because of this. We need you. And in fact, we need a better performing you, because guess who's going to operate these structures behind us? And guess who needs to troubleshoot the software as things go down? It's all of you guys.
The new facility was finally ready to be fired up in the spring of 2017, and Che was thrilled. Here, finally, was the thing he'd spent 4 years building towards, a system that can work at the scale this company needs to survive and thrive. And so, just like he charged hard to grow Boxed and learn along the way, he wanted to do that with his new facility, too.
If you had a dial from 0 to 100, the folks were like, okay, let's click it to 2. And let's just test it. I was like, I saw a few totes walking around. I was like, come on, you know? And then like, I remember just like ripping it to 100, and I'm like, and then the whole thing like almost melted down. But we fixed the kinks, you know? And then I to this day, I still maintain that if we clicked it to 4, then 6, then 8, dude, it would have been like a year and a half before we actually figured out any of the bugs. And so that's where the startup in us still is really important.
He had employees literally sleeping at the facility in those first few weeks, working out all the bugs in the system. Many companies might have spent the better part of a year bringing the thing online, slowly increasing its capacity and speed and making sure all the kinks worked out ahead of time, but that is not how Che rolls. He knows that success means thinking big and taking big strides and not being afraid of what you might step in along the way. That's how he built a company that only works at scale. He knew there'd be an awkward middle phase, so he braced himself for it, and then he charged right through. And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week, so to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at @HeyPfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.